This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And it's Saturday morning. It's 8:30, and it's actually a decent temperature outside, which means it is time once again for The Gardening Show with Master Gardener Bob Harris, Andy Paulson here, running the equipment and taking your comments and questions at garden@wesb.com. Taking your phone calls at 814-368-WESB, 814-368-9372. Or you can also comment on our Facebook Live. We are live on Facebook this morning.
All right.
Which it's good that you brought some stuff along for people to see, too.
I did. Show and tell.
So finally, we have a week in May when we don't have frost.
Yeah.
It's such a late spring this year.
Late, you think?
Yeah, I feel. Yeah. Oh. Well, at least for where I'm from in New Jersey, we get spring.
Yeah, yeah.
In early April, but it's...
This is early for us here.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've only been here like almost half a decade, or more than half a decade. So.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. It's a little early, and that's great for us gardeners that are itching to get out there, because I think we're safe now. As a matter of fact, I planted a few things at home, not too much, so that if we do get a curveball, I can go out there and cover them up and everything will be fine. So, yeah, that's my suggestion. You know, I say go ahead and start your gardening. But today I brought some more props to go over. I did some last week, so I wanted to do a few others this week here. And I'm going to start out with the marigolds. Now, I did show some last week, but I wanted to show you some of the different colors of marigolds. Marigolds are just a great plant.
And my grandmother grew them every spring.
Yeah, because they're just a real easy plant, and they just continually bloom all the time. So I wanted to show you this one here. It's kind of an orangey one with some red splashes here and there. Very colorful. Then a nice deep burgundy one called Fireball. This is another nice marigold. And then a nice orangey one. It's called Bonanza Orange. This is a real pretty one. And then, of course, the good old-fashioned yellow marigold. This one here is called Bonanza Yellow. You can't really beat the nice bright yellow because that's not only going to show up well in the daytime. That shows up at night, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you're out in your garden after sun goes down, you're still going to see some beautiful blooms.
How hard is it to grow marigolds? How much work do they take?
That's one of the easiest plants to grow and also to plant because they're not real picky about where they grow as long as you give them enough sun. They like full sun. And you don't need to be picky about how deep you plant them. You know, most plants, they tell you, you know, make sure that the plant is planted at the right depth. Marigolds, you know, if you do sink it in a little bit deeper than it's supposed to, it's fine. As a matter of fact, it may be even be beneficial because they can develop a few roots right off their stem. Another famous plant for that is the tomato.
Give them a bit of a head start.
Yeah, yeah. So, they're one of the easier plants to care for. That's why they've been so popular for so long. And they're just a great-looking plant in the garden, too. So another one, and it seems like I'm going here pretty old-fashioned, which I probably am.
But they're classics for a reason.
Yes, that's right. They've been around a long time because they're great plants. This one is called Snapdragon. And you can see it comes in a lot of different colors. I don't have a white or a yellow there, but the snapdragons are another great plant. I always get a tickle out of like the yellow and the white because you can eat a snapdragon blossom. But the yellow and the white ones have a real sugary flavor. So they're kind of neat in that way, too, that you can show the kids, you know, that a neat little habit of the plant. Don't go eating the marigolds. They're not poisonous, but they are
good for you.
Yeah, they're bitter. One of my favorites for a couple reasons, this is alyssum, and this is called Wonderland White. They also come in a blue. The alyssum, real tiny blossoms on it. So they attract immediately small beneficial wasps that cannot sting you no matter what you do to them because they're so tiny. But those wasps are beneficial because they attack other insects, the bad insects. So I always try to incorporate some of these in the garden somewhere. They're usually a creeping plant. They don't grow very tall. So usually we put these in the front of a border or in a hanging basket or a pot near the edge. So they show up well. And I highly recommend some alyssum. They also have a terrific scent, too. Always reminds me of my grandma. You know, she always had that nice perfume on all the time and smells a lot like alyssum.
Now, these little beneficial wasps that the alyssum attracts, they go after the bad bugs, but
yeah.
Do they harm the pollinators and the bees?
Oh, no, they don't.
Oh, good.
No, they don't.
So that's a very good tool to have in the garden.
Yeah, and how they work is they're, most of them are a parasitic type. They'll land on a bad bug and lay their eggs in it. Then the egg hatches and, of course, eats the inside of that bug. That's how it destroys it.
The beauty of nature, boys
yeah.
and girls.
But they're yes, but they're very, very small. Geez, I'm going to try to describe how small they are. Probably like a eighth of an inch in size. Very, very small, yeah. And they're quick. They kind of jitter about here and there, but they're attracted to very small blossoms. They're not attracted to the bigger blossoms because those are probably already being taken by the larger pollinating insects. So the parasitic wasp, the beneficial insect, is attracted to this because the bumblebees and honeybees can't get enough out of it to make it worth their while, but the parasitic wasps can. So good one to put in the garden.
And you can get that in any garden shop?
Oh, yeah. More or less. Yeah, very popular. Again, all these plants came from Graham's greenhouse. Another old-fashioned one that doesn't get used enough anymore, Dusty Miller.
I always wondered what that was called. I've seen that around.
Yeah. Dusty Miller, and this one's called Silver Dust. Why I like this plant is because, again, it's one of those ones you just plant it and forget it, you know, water from time to time. But they're just such a hardy growing plant. And sometimes they'll even come back from last year, you know, in a nice protected area. They help make other plants look prettier. So if I put this Dusty Miller next to this snapdragon, you can see that your eye is drawn to the Dusty Miller right away, and then you start to see the other blossoms. So
I was going to say, it's not really beautiful in and of itself.
Right.
But it does make a nice contrast
exactly.
to the more colorful.
That's the word I was going for, contrast. Yeah. So
it almost reminds me of cabbage.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, they do.
Looking at it.
Yeah. Now, they do bloom, but the bloom is about the same color as the rest of the plant, so we don't really notice it. But again, it's one of those real hardy plants. You just kind of stick it in the ground. And these two, you know, let me show you. You know, some people have trouble. This is a three-pack. You can get three-packs, four-packs, six-packs. Have trouble getting them out. So what you want to do is kind of squeeze around that root ball a little bit. That loosens up the plant. Then push from the bottom, and you can see the plant will come right out easily, and I'll just carefully tease it out. Now it's ready to plant.
Those of you who are listening on the radio, head over to Facebook Live, facebook.com/WESB1075, and you can see the video
yeah.
of Bob extracting the Dusty Miller from the little plastic case.
And a lot of anything that's in a pack like that, we call it a pack, the small cells of plants. Another way to do it, you know, again, kind of squeeze around the outside of the root ball. That kind of helps to loosen it. And then you can just turn the whole plant upside down and give it a couple shakes, and it'll land in your hand. And then it's ready to plant.
Nice and intact, ready to go right in the ground.
Yes.
And start spreading out.
Yep. And, of course, you can do that with big potted plants, too, that if you're having trouble getting them out of the pot, don't pull on the plant too much, because you can damage the roots and the stem. So if you have to, you know, kind of squeeze the pot. Or
loosen it first.
Yeah, loosen it first. Then if you have to, put your hand over the top of the soil, tip the whole pot right over, and start giving it a shake or even a tap on it a bit, and it will eventually slide out.
Not like the ketchup bottle. Do it nice and gentle with
the
tap.
Yeah.
It will come loose.
God, it makes me laugh because I make that mistake every time I get that big glob of ketchup. I love ketchup, though, so I don't worry about it. So if you're having trouble either way getting a plant out of the pot, the next thing to do is to just cut the pot off, you know, so you don't struggle and harm the plant trying to get it out by shaking it too much, pulling on it, and it won't release from that pot. Then take a knife and just slice that pot. In the same time, you're cutting through the root system a little bit, and that can be very beneficial because if they are root bound, none of these are yet, but as the season goes, some plants will become root bound. We'll want to cut a little bit of the roots, just the surface of the roots, so that that'll help them spread out quicker. They won't stay in that little ball of root and have a rough time finding water and food. That little slice disturbing the roots like that helps them develop new roots that will spread right out, and then they'll have a much easier time finding water and fertilizer and anchoring them into the soil, so if we get a windstorm, they can hold tight into that soil. If we don't do that on a root-bound plant, just put it in the soil, there is a chance, not always, but there is a chance that a nice wind can tip it right over because it hasn't spread its roots out through the rest of the soil to anchor it. That's what roots are for, not just for feeding. They're there to anchor the plant.
And there's a reason that pots were made out of clay since antiquity, and now they make them out of plastic. It's because they're disposable.
Yes.
They're meant to be destroyed to make it easy for you to plant the plants.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Area code 814-368-9372, 814-368-WESB. We are taking your calls. We are also taking questions through Facebook Live at facebook.com/WESB1075, or you can email them to us, especially if you have photos that you want to send us of something in your garden that you don't know what it is, or if you need some help with something, garden@WESB.com. And of course, you can also email us when the show is not on, and we will get to your email with the next show.
Yes, you bet.
So what have we got coming up next here?
Well, I just wanted to go over one more time. Again, the smaller white one in the front, that's alyssum. And then the different colors of marigolds. There is a white marigold, too, but I don't have one of those today. And then a nice old-fashioned snapdragon, which is fun to play with. And then the Dusty Miller, which helps highlight other colorful plants.
And we do have a caller on the line.
Oh, good.
Good morning. You're on the air with Bob.
Hi. Hi. I've had a garden, vegetable garden outside for a couple years. And last year, I got this gray powder all over everything, and it died about 2 months into gardening. So I'd like to prep my garden this year, and I just wondered, should I get rid of all of the soil and start fresh, and then how do I prevent this from happening again?
Okay. What you probably had was what a lot of people call gray mold or sooty mold, that whitish cast on the leaves. And it was pretty common last year. A lot of us had that. And that's an environmental thing. When the temperature is just right, humidity is just right, that mold spores are in the air everywhere. That gives them a chance to take hold and start growing on that leaf surface. Now, a couple ways to combat that is to make sure you have good air circulation. So the leaves of the plants, after they've been wet, dry out quickly so that mold can't get a foothold and start to grow on those leaves. Another way is if you've done that and you still have a little bit of mold, then and there are fungicides that you can spray on the leaves of that plant, and that will help keep that mold in check. So that's two nice ways. And there is even, you mix a little baking soda with water. You can spray that on a plant. There's been some success with that. Another way that I found out a few years ago, hydrogen peroxide, that one you always put on your cuts and scrapes, that's really liquid oxygen. And that mold does not like all that oxygen, but your plants do. So you can mix a little bit of that in a spray bottle with water and spray that on the leaves, and that will combat against the gray mold. And also, it'll really invigorate, we call it, your plant too, because that little burst of oxygen, just like that football player that comes to the sideline puffing and huffing and puffing because he can't get air, you know, and then puts on the oxygen mask, just like that, just needs that boost of oxygen, and then everything will be good again. So hydrogen peroxide, baking soda and water, fungicide, or just making sure you got good air circulation. Don't plant your plants too close together. If you have that problem of mold, maybe separate your plants a little bit so you have good, better air circulation.
Okay, how often would you say to spray hydrogen peroxide on them?
Oh, you can do that once a week if you like.
Once a week.
Okay. Yep, whether they're having a problem or not, you can do that. A lot of the rose growers now like to do that, put all their roses on a weekly schedule, because that does give them that extra boost of oxygen, and they seem to grow and flower a little bit quicker that way.
What would you say is the percent of hydrogen peroxide to water?
Oh, okay. That's a good question.
It's not just the glug, 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 is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It is the glug, glug, glug.
I have a tendency to do odd measurements. There are true measurements, like you're going to do 1 ounce of hydrogen peroxide, 10 ounces of water. What I like to do in a quart spray bottle is give a glug, glug, glug of my hydrogen peroxide, fill the rest up with water, and then you're ready to go.
Okay. Do I need to get rid of all the soil?
No, not at all. No.
Okay.
Your mold has been there for a million years, that gray mold. and if you got rid of all of it, it's going to blow back in tomorrow. It's just conditions were perfect for that to get a foothold.
Okay. Is there anything you recommend doing to the soil from year to year? Or adding to it?
Oh, yeah. I always try to add a little compost, manure, old grass clippings, anything like that. Old leaves. Leaves are great to add to your soil. That just reinvigorates it. As those things start to decompose in your soil, they add nutrients to your soil by feeding the life that's in the soil. There's millions and millions of creatures living in just a handful of soil, and they're all very important. And there's even fungus growing there, fungus that does not harm your plant, fungus that's very beneficial. So by adding anything to your soil, even peat moss too, anything like that, is going to help add to the life of the soil, which will add to the life of your plant.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm thinking of planting everything at the end of May there, if that's the time people do it.
So. You bet. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for all the advice.
Oh, thank you. Some great questions.
And send us some photos of your garden once it's up.
Okay. I will do that. Yeah. Thank you.
Take care. Have a good day. We have an open line now, 814-368-9372, 814-368-WESB. We're going to take a quick moment for our friends at Worth W. Smith, and we'll be right back on The Gardening Show.
Spring has sprung. Time to get your gardening underway with a visit to Worth W. Smith Company Hardware. Start with their big selection of garden seeds and fertilizers to grow all your favorite vegetables and flowers. Build attractive planting beds and landscape edging with railroad ties from Worth Smith. Dress it up with the popular black pearl mulch and add bags of landscape stone and pavers to finish it off. You'll be the envy of your neighborhood. It's time to get started. Remember, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
And we're back on The Gardening Show with Master Gardener Bob Harris here on B107.5 FM WESB, also on Facebook Live, facebook.com/WESB1075. You can email us if you want to send us pictures or if you want to contact us when the show is off the air, garden@WESB. And of course, taking your calls, 814-368-9372. So, I'm just so happy that we finally got spring again, but it's also the pollen. I could see the visible pollen the other day blowing past me, and I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, you sure can. And they predicted it, and it's happening, that it's going to be an earlier pollen season and a heavier pollen season because of the weather. All the plants have wintered very well, so they're able to put forth more blossoms, and that means more pollen. There's a few things we can do, though. For those that are really allergic to the pollen, we can wear those COVID masks. They're very beneficial.
Good reason to keep them around.
Yep, exactly. Or we can do all our gardening and yard work early morning when it's damp, or late evening when it's damp, or that day that it's a damp day. Most of the pollen that affects people is very light, does not like moisture. If there's any moisture in the area, it gets on the pollen. The pollen drops to the ground immediately. Those hot, dry days is a real bad day for pollen because it'll just float in the air forever and ever. So try to do it early in the morning when it's damp, late in the evening when it's damp, or a real humid day. And you'll be safe. Or if you can't, then put the mask on. No problem. Nope.
Excuse me, the pollen there.
Yeah. There's been a lot of it every day. When I get in my car, I got to run the windshield wipers just to clear all that pollen off.
Now, here's something I was wondering. I've got this little plot in front of my house where we had been keeping the trash cans for the longest time, but we moved them away from the front of the house, and now I've got this nice area. There's not a lot of grass growing there right now because it's been occupied all this time, so I think I'm just going to turn this into a flower bed and till it up a little, yep. Put down some mulch, and put in some of the knockout roses like I've been wanting to for years.
All right.
But I did recognize when I was starting to till, the one thing that the trash cans did not kill is poison ivy.
Oh, boy.
How do I get rid of that safely?
Yeah. It's always a tough question for me. But for me, personally, the only way to safely get rid of poison ivy, you don't want to pull it because then you'll get it, and you probably will not get it all. If you leave a little bit of root, it will come back. The best way, well, there's two ways. You can cover that area with cardboard, then put mulch on top of that cardboard, and that will block out the sunlight and the air, the water, but that's going to take a year. You're going to have to do that. The other way is an herbicide. you know, and I like to use Roundup. I know a lot of people don't like to use Roundup, but for something like poison ivy that I want to have a nice safe area and not get the rash, then Roundup, you spray it on, and you'll see the weeds start to die off. It'll take a few weeks. Wait a couple weeks, then maybe spray it one more time if there's still leaves there. And that will destroy it. It'll take that chemical through the leaf, down through the stem, into the root system, and of course it'll kill off the plant. So that's my recommended way of doing it.
With Roundup, always, it does not take a lot.
No.
Use it very sparingly.
Exactly, yeah. You don't need much. All you have to do is dampen the leaf. You don't have to soak them. And I don't recommend soaking them. And don't do it on a windy day, and don't do it anytime the temperature is above 80. Because a lot of, not just Roundup, but a lot of those chemicals that we use in our yards, when it gets above 80, they become volatile, we call it. They turn from a liquid into a gas so that they can float around for a long period of time, and then all of a sudden they'll find a nice cool leaf to land on, and so you can damage a plant that you didn't want to damage. So don't do it on a windy day, and don't do it on a hot day.
I remember the first time I used Roundup decades ago, trying to kill some weeds, a tiny little bit of a spray got onto a bush.
Yeah.
And the bush was dead within 3 days.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. The tiniest bit.
So be real careful. One of the other things I like to do is I'll cut a 3x3 sheet of cardboard, and I can put it against the plant that I don't want to get any spray on. And then I can spray the weeds that are below, the poison ivy, and so that if there is any drift, we call it, any of that spray moves, it'll hit the cardboard and not that other plant. So that's one way to protect the whole area.
We've got time for one more quick caller, if you can get in right now, at 814-368-9372, 814-368-WESB, or you can email your questions to us at garden@wesb.com. Anything to wrap up this week?
Because I mentioned last week about what's blooming. I got the question, and I really appreciated that question. So what's blooming out there now this week? Choke cherries are. Forsythia are still blooming. The maple and oak trees are blooming. Redbud trees are blooming. Crab apples and apples. The honeysuckle bushes. The azalea bushes, the wadgelia bushes, the lilac bushes are blooming, and blueberry bushes are starting to bloom. So that's a few of the things that you'll see blooming as you drive around.
814-368-WESB. We are actually almost out of time.
Oh,
so
okay.
Save the number for next week. Or like I said, email us with photos if you've got them. garden@wesb.com. And of course, we'll be on Facebook Live again next week. Igor will be back in the big chair.
Okay.
And you'll have more stuff for us to look at,
oh,
too.
Oh, you bet. Yeah.
And get all your questions together. Coming up now on 9 o'clock, Nick Youngs has the ARG News Review coming up here on WESB Bradford.